Continuing to look at Vision Destiny 2021, sharing some of the things which were key in my journey of hearing what God said, engaging God, engaging the difficult situations that we're in. So what has God said in 2020? What did God do? And what does that mean for us going forward into 2021? It's been a challenging year in many ways, but a year of great change, a great shifting, a great transformation, great opportunity if we embrace it in the right way. So 27th of August, the Father said, "Son, maintain a stance of honor towards all, and you will receive the blessing of all that person is." And I think that's really, really important to embrace, that not everyone on their journey has everything yet. Therefore, we can draw and glean from so many people. There's no need to be concerned about mixture, as we will filter out anything that may be dangerous if you keep your heart right. So let's trust God in relationship. We don't have to be afraid of people's views and people's opinions. So long as we're close to God, God will help us discern that which is for us at the moment and that which isn't. And that doesn't actually mean that if it's not for us at the moment, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just might mean that it's not for us yet. And that's okay on our own journey, because we're all on individual paths towards the same goal, sonship and the restoration of all things. Son, we have created so much diversity to reflect the manifoldness of who we are. So from your perspective, there seems to be many strange packages that the message comes in, but that is just to test the heart. Sometimes when you look at what's going on and when God speaks through some people, you just think, really? But hey, God can choose a donkey. He can choose anybody. Therefore, let's not judge the message by where the message comes from. Be careful not to reject or accept the message because of the messenger. Test it by the frequency it carries. And that's why we need to be close to God to carry his frequency and to discern his frequency. The genuine will always carry our frequency. So the more deeply you're intimate with who we are, the easier discernment will be. And I think it's so important that discernment comes from relationship with the Father, not from our intellectual knowledge, our history, our past, but from the Father's heart. Son, test everything with a loving, not a suspicious heart, and you will resonate with what is genuine and feel the love on it. An absence of love will enable you to discern error and mixture, but you can still honor the messenger by the way you accept or reject the message. And this is really, really important, because even though we might not feel something is right for us at this point in time, that doesn't mean we have to reject the messenger or be nasty about the person. We don't need to get personal. Son, legislate for peace during these times of anger by forgiving those behind and in the center of the issue. And there's so much going on around the world, and some of it you just think, how can people do that? How can people think that? But they do. So let's make sure we forgive them, release them, and bless them, even in the midst of what's going on. And all of the stuff going on around the world right now, and there's so much conspiracies, theories, and so much behind it. Let's make sure we maintain a discerning heart, engage with the Father, not just assume something's right or wrong by the messenger, but also when things seem to be completely out of alignment, let's make sure our hearts are forgiving towards people. Change will come as the divisions are exposed, brought into the light, and reconciled through forgiveness. The violent extremes are not necessary for change, but we will still use them, but be aware and legislate with our heart. So God does not want revolution which is violent. Jesus came to bring peace. And yes, he brought a sword, but the sword was just to draw a line of division, to separate that which is right and wrong. It wasn't to cut people up or hack things together or to bring war. And we've got to understand the symbolism of things. Jesus very clearly said to Peter not to use a sword, you know, and therefore the symbol of the sword in this sense is the way to divide something in separation of a verdict that the judge has. The political spirit will be operating overtly during the US election season. There will be so many seeking advantage through the trouble, so be vigilant. And everyone takes and makes political gain from whatever's going on in whichever way they can. and make sure we don't get on the bandwagon of that, but we seek God's heart. And if there are things going on, what is God's heart for us? How can we legislate with a loving heart towards everything that's going on, not happy that something's nasty's going on or something difficult's going on, not rejoicing in negativity, but also when there is negativity, carrying the right heart towards those who may be negative. The political and religious spirit thrives on competition and conflict through self-righteousness that is prominent during election seasons, because everyone is saying they're right, whether they are or not. And therefore, everyone else is saying everyone's wrong. And all that does is cause division and separation. And even if people did agree over the same issues, they wouldn't say so. Always seek for our heart and purpose by seeing the bigger picture. Do not get drawn into political, ideological debate that is usually fear-driven. Son, have no allegiances other than to our kingdom. Do not form political, ideological, or theological allegiances, as they will cloud your discernment. That doesn't mean you can't have an opinion, but make sure it's not so strong that God cannot direct you otherwise. So for me, I may have a political opinion. I'm not going to share that with anyone because I don't think that will be correct to do. And I don't want to influence what people do. They need to engage with God and ask him what to do. But if I do have an opinion, I must not allow that opinion to be so strong that I could not believe that God would ask me to do something which was in opposition to my own opinion. He can and does often. Seek love and focus on our bigger agenda to navigate the way through the troubled waters that will be ahead. This time of great shifting and shaking will not be a short season, as there are so many things which need to be reset and recalibrated to move towards kingdom government. The old systems must be shaken and removed, so keep shielding the earth from the external influences and keep releasing love into the earth. So important that the frequency of love, joy, peace, hope is there, so that in the midst of difficulties there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Perfect love, that is who we are within I am, is the only antidote to the fear and anger that seeks to take advantage by creating division and competition. Let's not get drawn into that. Union of heart, mind, and purpose is God's desire. And family union, even though we might have divergent opinions or views, still overcomes the division. I can be part of the same family, because I am in God, everyone's included in Christ. And people may have very, very different views and ways of doing things, but that doesn't mean that they're not still part of family. And I would reject them from being family in my eyes because of the way they think or what they do or what they act. God doesn't do that. We must be careful we don't also. Son, collaborate with union and limitless, which are beings, they're angelic beings, orders of angels, to enable peaceful transition during the shift the cosmos is going through. And this is not just a shift that's going on the earth, because what goes on the earth affects everything right throughout the dimensions. So it's such a key that we embrace and work together with those beings that are looking to bring union, and they have limitless grace and ability to enable us, no matter what the circumstances, to overcome them and to operate in love through them. What is occurring during this period is touching the dimensions powerfully through those of our sons who understand the times and the seasons. And it is important that we understand where we are in all this. And we're cooperating with God and not opposing him. Sometimes it can appear like the enemy is doing things, but actually God is actually doing that. And sometimes it can appear that God's doing something and you think, oh, is that the enemy? We've got to be very careful to know. Don't just assume or presume something. Find out from the Father's heart what he's doing. Understand the times of the seasons and know what to do in those seasons. Be vigilant and diligent during this season of great change, where many are standing on shifting sands and feeling very insecure. The dampening waves of love are key to limiting the negative effects during this turbulent season of cosmic transformation. So important that we release frequencies of love, joy, peace, hope. Live loved, love living, live loving as an oracle of our heart. Son, the truth is love. Grace is love. Mercy is love. All of our attributes, precepts, character and nature is love. Love is the key to kingdom, government and change and transformation. They may be named differently, but in reality, we are love. That is why the restoration of all things is inevitable. Son, be passionate about life and desire the restoration of all things. As we do so, that it motivates your life, but enjoy life as joy is an expression of unconditional love. So God is so passionate about the restoration of all things, and we should be passionate about the restoration of all things. And let that passion motivate our desire for restoration, but actually let's enjoy the process. Let's enjoy the reality. There is so much to be thankful for, grateful for, to express our gratitude that we have embraced unconditional love and limitless grace. Joy is an expression of unconditional love. And when you know you're unconditionally loved, we can be joyful, even in the midst of difficult situations. Son, our children seek after happiness, but lack real joy because they do not know unconditional love and are trying to find it by walking the wrong path. Experiencing unconditional love is the only way our children will truly know their identity as sons. And to be God's sons, we need to know that we're embraced as sons unconditionally. And it isn't why what we've done or what we're going to do. It's about who we are. And we are all his children. Son, the shift needs to continue. There is more shaking that is needed for the transformation to be effective. The old systems are clinging onto their positions and their agendas and are veiled behind the distractions and the divisive conflicts that are widespread globally. Sometimes all of the smoke and mirrors that go on with conflict around the world and situations people face, they don't discern what's behind it. And therefore, we need to be aware that the old systems that people have put their trust in are weakening because people's trust in them are weakening. And as a global awakening to consciousness of God and love becomes more widespread, people will begin to realize those systems are controlling them. They're keeping them, and therefore they're using divisive conflicts to maintain the status quo. Son, do not be associated with anything that promotes war at any level. Be at peace with all things. And this is so important. Blessed are the peacemakers. It's so important that we embrace that we are to live in peace, function in peace, release peace, and bless with peace. Spiritual warfare is an oxymoron, as it is impossible to be truly motivated spiritually and be at war. I'm not saying that we don't overcome things, but we overcome them with love, not with violence or in the same spirit that those things are operating in. We must operate in the opposite spirit. Continue to promote love and demonstrate limitless grace through forgiving everyone and everything unconditionally. Son, it will get darker before the dawn breaks, and the light of love shines brightly through our sons demonstrating limitless grace. We are going to get dawn breaking through, and often it feels the darkest just before the dawn breaks. So don't be overly concerned by the things that are happening, but function and legislate around your own life for provision and protection, trusting in God. Don't be subject to the things that are going on. Don't be subject to the fear. Don't be subject to the panic or the anger or any of those things, because they will take place. But start operating in limitless grace. So we forgive, we release, we bless. We don't hold things against people or political parties or nations or any other system or religious systems. We may not agree with them, but that doesn't mean that we don't honor and respect the people in them, because they are God's children. And those people God is working at to reveal the true nature of who he is. Son, the present situation is just one of the many needed to shake the world out of its complacency and self-reliance to seek for the truth. So do not fight it, which is why I've not felt to stop the present situation. Am I going to be affected by it negatively? No, but I'm not going to stop it because I do believe God's using it. Did God create it? No, but he is using it. So let's embrace what he's doing in it and cooperate with him through the process. Legislate for the shaking to become effective and for good to come from it, but not for its change. So that's what I've done subsequent up to that point. Son, limitless grace is the divine enabling power to overcome every obstacle and hindrance to the restoration of relationship that we desire and intend for all our children and all that we've created. Sin is the lost identity of being made in our image, not behavior. So people have lost their image, the being made in the image and likeness of God. They've lost that identity, and therefore they've created their own image from what they've done. And we have associated behavior with sin. Sin is a noun, not a verb. It's not a doing thing, it's a being thing. And actually, lost identity is something, a state that we live in. Yes, it dictates our behavior, but it's a state. And if you deal with a state, the behavior will change. If sin is lost identity, then grace is restoration of the true image of sonship. If sin is separation from man's perspective, then grace is reconciliation. If sin causes guilt, shame, condemnation, then grace is forgiveness. If sin causes death, then grace is abundant life. If sin and death came through Adam, then life came through Jesus. And that life is an abundant life. If sin causes toxic thinking, then grace renews the mind. If sin causes unrighteousness, then grace is justification. If grace cannot overcome sin, then we cannot be omnipotent, as sin would then be more powerful to separate than we are to reconcile and restore. And this is the reality. If we honestly believe that lost identity can keep people from God and God separates people because they don't know who they are, then we've missed the point. That lost identity is not more powerful than God to restore that identity of all his children and everything that he's created. Whatever the results of sin, grace is limitless in its capacity to overcome it and restore relationship between our children and us. There is no state or behavior that is powerful enough to keep us from our children. Really, really take note of that. Sin is empowered by the DIY tree, law-based mindsets that create separation that requires sacrifice. But trust in the tree is cursed. See, Jesus said that the tree was cursed, and that tree can no longer produce anything good. Even it couldn't in the first place, but people trusted in it, and people's trust in that tree is going to be tested. And it has no real power, just an illusion and a deception. You know, the tree itself is a delusion and an exception, and we must be aware that the separation that religion creates that requires sacrifice is coming from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Where sin has abounded, grace is limitless, lavish, and abundantly able to even greater abound. And that is the reality. There is nothing that God cannot do to restore his children. Son, religion of all kinds uses the concept of sin and separation to create the need for duty, obligation, appeasement, sacrifice and service, and a performance-driven life. Limitless grace uses the concepts of forgiveness, reconciliation, justification and restoration to reveal unconditional love that releases joy and peace to enable rest. And that is the state to live in, rest. And you can only rest if you stop striving to be and know who you are so you can just be. Limitless grace guarantees the restoration of all things, motivated and empowered by the unconditional love that we have for creation. Son, look deep into my eyes and feel the unconditional love that motivates and empowers limitless grace. And as I looked, it was intense and it was deep. I went deeper and deeper into that unconditional love, the realization of the overwhelming power and limitless grace became even clearer. That clarity of thought brought the following conclusion to me. Restoration of all things is inevitable, eventually, because love wins and grace overcomes. And it can be nothing else, but we can cooperate with that process, we can participate in that process, or we can stand against and resist the process. It won't mean that it won't happen in the end, but it can mean that it's resisted and it will take longer, if you like, for that to happen. Limitless grace will secure a restored relationship between the Father and all his children and the Creator's original intention and purpose for creation by whatever means that are necessary. Love wins. Grace overcomes. Son, the shift that's taking place has not finished. There are more waves to come, so legislate for the change and the transformation still needed to bring a fuller recalibration. Personally, focus your attention on turning division into union. Now, division is a group of fallen angels, and Union is another group of angels that God has a purpose for. And I would encourage you to not be involved in cooperating with division of any kind, but embrace union. Union spirit, soul, body. Union heaven and earth. Union of all the family of God. So then, by engaging that, we can see division turned into union, competition turned into covenant, because covenant is God's way of functioning. What's mine is yours, yours is mine. We're in this new covenant in Christ, and therefore all one family, and we need to mutually support and encourage each other. And that needs to function in all areas of our lives to restore relationship at all levels. So that is what the Father was really trying to get over. I need to focus my attention on engaging division, and that means the being, but also what it is in my life, to make sure I'm not operating in division myself, and to function in covenant, new covenant, hesed, loving kindness in every area and every level of my life. And God will encourage you to do exactly the same. The priorities of our children need to change to focus on what really matters, which is relationship and the truly rest in love, joy and peace. And this is the key. To rest in that, knowing that it's already unconditionally given. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to try and achieve it. It's yours in relationship. Son, ministry and the institution of church have occupied most of your life, as with many. Now is the time to reevaluate. And this shift, and God has been preparing me for this shift for 3 years, is all about changing what is important, reevaluating my value systems, what I put an emphasis on. And it's not about keeping an institutional meeting setting going in the way that it has been before. It's about functioning in sonship, fulfilling my destiny as a son of God in relation to the restoration of all things, which is a personal mandate that I have. It is time for true reality in multidimensional living, so you can fully function on the bliss of rest from your labors to just be. And that's so important. You know, I've looked back in my life and I labored. You know, I was laboring for good things, but I was laboring. I was not always in rest. Now, I just want to live in the bliss of rest. I have shielded you from the knowledge of just what your non-linear being is accomplishing in the spiritual realms, just giving you glimpses. So in reality, things I've been doing, I've not always been aware of what I've been doing. So I'm doing things multidimensionally, but I'm not aware cognitively always of those things. And the Father said, I will take the blinkers off your mind so your consciousness can expand to take in multidimensional reality and truly appreciate your capacity as a mature son of God. And therefore, he began to show me what I'm capable of and what multidimensional living is, which was way beyond what I can imagine or think. So in that moment, I became aware of who I am and what I'm doing at a higher level of consciousness in an expanded state of reality. So I was aware in that moment of all the places and all of the connections I have in those places, because I know that I've been in multiple places, but I didn't realize that each of those multiple places were also multiple places. So there is a whole collection of things happening in each place that I have engaged. And I've learned all of these things linearly, and I've gone through all of these things in the realms of heaven and engaged in all these places, but didn't really fully understand how they all function together. And there were connections between some of these places. And I can live in the moment where I'm operating in all of those things simultaneously. I am, therefore I exist in manifoldness, just like my dad, in non-linear quantum moments of the fulfillment of my destiny. And that's what I really began to become aware of. So I am quantumly entangled. Now, quantum entanglement really means that you can be in different places but connected instantly to every place. So I'm quantumly entangled, multidimensional, with the eternal now. So I'm connected to the eternal now, right at this moment, the cradle of life, where you can brood on the with the Father's heart, the sound of many waters, the waterfall, the chamber of destiny that's there, the chamber of creation, continually in just one of many realities. And that was just one. And I am in all those places continually, connected to the Father's heart, connected to the eternal now of the Father's heart, to begin to function out of creating reality, aligned to the Father's heart. And this is a life to be lived, not just something to think, well, I'm going to go and do that. It's to be. This is about being and not doing. So I'm also quantumly entangled, multidimensionally, with the eternal now, the throne of grace, the judgment seat, the altar of fire, the firestones, and my heaven of heavens, throne in another reality set. So in a reality set, all of these things, I love the throne of grace, not so much the judgment seat. That's always been a bit of a fiery, scary place in one sense. The altar of fire, I've embraced that as a living sacrifice daily. Firestones, had so many life-changing encounters on the firestones. And I'm seated in a throne and the heaven of heavens to be able to see from a different perspective of reality. And they're all functioning together. Now, sometimes I can consciously or cognitively engage one of those and engage in that moment, but I'm operating there in all the moments. So I'm always have what I need from the throne of grace to meet the things that I'm doing all of the time. I'm always motivated from the eternal now that it's all good. It will be. From the judgment seat of purification of my scroll, of the fire of the altar that brings me that place where here am I, send me. The firestones which have brought revelation that has so transformed and changed my life over the years. And then being seated in heaven of heavens to function governmentally there. And that's a set of reality that I now am aware of. So I'm also quantumly entangled, multidimensionally, with the eternal now. Four faces of God. So I'm in the eternal now, which is connected to the four faces of God within Yod, He, Vav, He, standing in his name, connected to the lion, ox, eagle, man, with the function of the order of Melchizedek as a king, priest, oracle, legislator. But that also connects me to the court of the councils of the fathers, where I'm connected to the Father's heart and the one new man in Christ, the court of the kings, where I can function in producing and receiving legislation, the Chancellor's Court, where I can function in authorizing legislation, and my mountain thrones in another quantum moment. And so I'm living there in all those things, all of the time. I'm also entangled with the eternal now, the circle of the deep, the 12 High Chancellor's houses, the Counselor 70 in another quantum moment, because that's another mandate that I have to align things within God's heart and the 12 houses to bring about the precepts, statutes and laws and ordinances, you know, to open up new mantles and new tools, weapons, you know, commissioning scrolls. I mean, all of that. And I know how that works in my own life, and I know how I've done that for a wider setting, but I'm doing it continually. I'm also entangled with the eternal now, the court of the upright, where the cloud of witnesses are, the cloak of mystery, the dark cloud, where I can engage the fallen beings in a safe environment, wisdom's heights, which gives me doors into different dimensions and obviously into under the earth, into the realm of the trophy room and into the fire of God's consuming love in another moment. So I'm continually able to rescue people as I'm following the Father's heart. I'm also entangled with the eternal now, the beyond beyond, the dimensional anteroom, where I connect to other dimensional beings and other dimensional realms in another moment. So I'm continually doing that. And the last time I really focused on being there, walked there with the Father, I engaged 25 different races from different dimensions. And actually in each of them, I engaged in a quantum moment and went to all those dimensions and was aware of everything in those dimensions and functioned in for their restoration. And that all happened in a moment, and I still retain the memory of it. I'm also entangled multidimensionally with the eternal now, wisdom sights, the ancient paths, the four doors, the earth shield in another quantum moment. And so I'm part of the earth shield right now, connected with wisdom's heights, the ancient paths and the doorways and the connections that are all there. And although I've been to all those places individually and learnt all about them, now they function in my life in that spiritual, multidimensional way. I'm also quantumly entangled with the eternal now, the Father's garden, where the cradle of life is, the elementals, seven thrones. I'm creation in another quantum moment, because I have a passion for creation's restoration, and I'm engaging creationally all of the time. I'm also engaged with the eternal now, my own spirit, my first love place, the garden of my heart, the dance floor, soaking room, bridal chamber, the Merkaba, the tree of life, the seven energy gates, and my expanded spiritual spheres in another quantum moment. And actually, every day I engage that moment actively by choice, by intention. I choose to open my first love gate. Then I connect to all of that flow of life that's from heaven into me, through me, around me, to bring balance between heaven and earth, between balance between spirit and soul and body, to bring me connected to all the spheres of government that I've been given. And I can do that in a moment. And I'm learning to be more consciously aware of those moments. Now, as this happened, and as I saw all these things and the blinkers were taken off, my heart was so filled with joy. I just sank deeper and blissfully into rest. But at the same time, I was so excited by this revelation that I could hardly contain myself, because, you know, I was used to going and doing those things in a linear way. And even when I knew I was in all those places in a non-linear way, in a simultaneous way, I didn't realize they encompass so much and that I was capable of so much. Then each of us are capable of so much. We are sons of God. We're made in the image and likeness of God. God is creative. God lives in the eternal now state, but God is connected to every quantum moment of existence. And we can also begin to realize that that is what we're learning to become, like our dad. Son, see how easy it is just to be. And this is just a glimpse of what it is to be I am that I am, that you will ascend to when you become an ascended father, because we're moving into fatherhood, not just sonship. Son, learn to become aware of the multidimensional reality, but always stay in rest, live in love, joy and peace, with balance within, balanced by the tree of life between spirit, soul and body. And I think that, again, is so important, to embrace this balance and harmony and union and oneness. As you expand your spirit's boundaries, practice expanding your consciousness, become more aware of the dimensional realities that you are mandated to govern in. And that's what I've been doing. All you learn to do as a son, made in our image with creative abilities, will equip you to become an ascended father in the ages to come. Son, the true authority of a son is realized through surrender, not service. So abandon yourself totally to just being. We're not here as a steward to be in service. We're here as a son to be in participation and union with the Father's heart. Our nature, as I am that I am, is the model and pattern for our children to follow as sons. Just learn to be at rest in who you are. And I think, again, this is such a key process to meditate in, to be mindful of, to live in the moment of being, resting in being. All the doing in the world will not enable you to be. But being who you were created to be will enable all the effective doing from total rest. It is the frequency of rest that creation needs to become still, so it can rest from its groaning. Son, remember that you are designed to be limitless in unconditional love, grace and mercy, overflowing in loving kindness. Because that's what God is like. Loving kindness is the true hallmark of our nature. And that is new covenant reality, free from all do-it-yourself, tree, law-based knowledge. And again, that is so important, that we're not under the old covenant. Son, you are slowly learning to see creation through our loving eyes, so that the oracles of our heart will be your inspiration. And it's so wonderful to see how passionate God is. Inspired by loving kindness, everything is limitless. There are no restrictions, so free your mind from impossibilities and choose a reality that reflects true new covenant unconditional love. Son, come walk with me. And in this engagement, we walked in the Father's garden, and it was, beautiful beyond description. It was so beautiful. An amazing experience of beauty. I began to feel the pleasure of the Father and creation's pleasure. This was another creation connecting experience, because as I walked there, it was just so amazing to feel what creation felt at my pleasure at looking at it. It was just wonderful. Everything was communicating with me as we walked. It was sensory overload in a good way, as I felt the emotions of each living thing. The garden was singing to me its joy, that the Father was enjoying it, that I was enjoying it. It was just a beautiful, living, creational moment. So, sonship must focus beyond the restoration of creation to the joy set before it of the union of all things. It's not just a restoration, but it's the union that is, the family, the connection, the symbiosis, the amazing sense of union. You have begun to see that by enjoying life every day in the rest of multidimensional living, by being creative. And that is so true. You know, it means I can enjoy so much life. I love being creative. I love doing things. I love being creative in an everyday sense. And I've got so much more time to do it, because I'm not striving to do all the other things I thought I had to do. I can just be, and those things are out working. Son, do not hold back on your creativity, as that is what life is supposed to be about. The restoration process is not an end in itself, but is only so life can return to our image. Everyone is individually crafted and wonderfully made in our image to live in the rest of their creative identity. All that you are enjoying making through the creativity you're expressing is part of the rest and the reset and recalibration of your life for enjoyment. And God wants us to live rejoicing, overflowing in joy. So many of our sons are not a good example to our children because they're performance driven and not enjoying life. You know, so many people caught in the religion, and Christian religion especially, are not demonstrating to those in the world, as we say, they're all God's children, but they're not wanting to come into a religious thing because we're not enjoying life. It's filled with duty and obligation. We intend creation to be a joyous expression of I am that I am, but following the path of independence is taking the joy out of creation. And it's so important that we get back the beauty and the connection to creation that will so motivate us in our responsibility as sons. The shift you're going through is restoring the creative joy to your heart. That is why your priorities are changing. And they are. Son, as you've discovered by living in multiple dimensions, free from the restraints of time, you have all the time you need to do what your entire destiny mandates you to do. So just as you have felt the joy of my garden, feel the joy of your domain and be satisfied and really content with your creative endeavors. So live life to the full. Embrace the wonder and splendor and awesome beauty of creation and life itself. Son, never again go back to the old ways of working, which was lacking in real joy. Look forward to being a creative as an ascended father. Creation is groaning to return to symbiotic union with the sons of God. That is reflected in what you feel in my garden. What I felt was that real, I felt as it should be. And I felt, therefore, what it isn't in comparison. Son, imagine the whole of the creative order expressing the joy you have experienced in my garden and brood over it. And I did imagine. What I'd experienced caused me to long for that to be true for the whole of creation. And I did brood over it. I went through the golden gates into the cradle of life to brood over what the Father had shown me. And I brooded there and so just intensified my desire for the fulfillment of creation's freedom. My whole being rested in that desire for restored union, and I was already enjoying what I was contemplating as if it had already existed in that quantum moment. The chamber of destiny amplification and the chamber of creation excitement of the quantum lumens of reality were contained within that creative moment. It was like it was done. It was finished. It was outworked. And I was living in that fulfillment. Son, now you're beginning to know true joy, true rest, and enjoy a life of being. Son, creation is waiting, looking, waiting for the sons of God to arise, shine with love's light to free it from its bondage to corruption. And it's waiting for us. We must come into this reality of who we are. That corruption still present amongst most of our children, free is the priority. But restoring what is deceiving them is the foundation for the harvest. So it's so important that we see that the world is living in a false reality. They're living in a less than kind of life. So we want to draw people into the reality of the joy that we live in and the bliss we live in. The atmosphere of the earth that influences the conditions and the people must be reclaimed and restored, as it is principalities and powers that must make known the wisdom of God. And again, so important that we realize there is a process going on for change and transformation. When the atmosphere is restored, the light can shine and the everlasting doors can be opened, so that the earth will not be covered in darkness as it is now. Again, this is a process. The global shield is protecting the earth, preparing it for atmospheric decontamination so the principalities, powers, and rulers can be identified, targeted, and restored. We're not going to war, we're going for restoration. The absence of light and love that you have detected shows you where to engage, but it will require persistence to bring about the restoration process. You know, I've been able to see from sitting in the realm of the heaven of heavens that there is an absence, a pocket, voids around the earth and around the atmosphere, indicating the negativity that's going on there. Once restored to their original position, they will cooperate with the elementals to broadcast the frequencies of hope that will be received by those prepared by the shift, global shift taking place. There is an awakening to a different level of consciousness which is taking place. That will be a connection or a reconnection to creation. Son, this will be the true first fruits of the harvest you've been longing for. Then heaven and earth will be in agreement and the full harvest can begin to be reaped. So we must see the children of God become sons. The storehouses need to be ready, operating under heaven's government on the earth, creating garden environments for creation to thrive in restored union. Creation longs to give us its bounty, and yet we're asset stripping it, and we're treating it like it is not alive. Son, the release of blessing, of limitless grace and overflowing mercy precedes all that we have shown you. So there must be an outpouring of limitless grace and overflowing mercy. The global awakening of our consciousness to our unconditionally loving nature is vital to prepare the harvest to receive the frequency that will unlock and reveal the truth of who we are and their identity as sons. So it's so important that people realize who they are, and they can only do that in relationship to a loving Father. Son, keep legislating for the revealing of limitless grace, for the outpouring of overflowing mercy that will raise the consciousness levels of those in bondage. Son, brood over all you've seen within the cradle of life to come into full agreement, union and harmony with our intentions, so that you can be one of the oracles that release the sound of many waters to shape and form reality in the chamber of creation. The whole of creation is waiting and longing for the sons of God to be moved by its groaning enough to act responsibly. Arise, shine with the glory of your sonship to restore hope to all the dimensions that are beginning to awaken from the great deception. And this, what we're doing on our frequency of sonship, is touching the dimensions. Son, only living in a state of rest will enable all that you have seen to become reality, trusting in our loving kindness despite all evidence to the contrary. So there might be so much going on that we don't understand, we don't know. Don't be thrown by that. Don't be affected by that. There is a bigger narrative and a bigger agenda here. Let's make sure we live in personal rest and personal peace, but realizing that there is an agenda for restoration to take place. Live loved, love living, live loving in the rest of immortality. So important that we embrace the reality of immortality, that we're not controlled and affected by death in any of its forms, but we live in rest of knowing who we are, where we are, what we're doing, in that sense of identity and purpose. So again, I just encourage you, as we just go into a little activation, to embrace the reality of rest and tune in to the Father's heart and embrace the reality of who Father is in love, joy, and peace, so that you can discover the reality of who you are. And then perhaps ask the Father to take you somewhere you feel you want to go and explore, whether it be the cradle of life or the sound of many waterfalls, waterfall and the chamber, or any of those places. You know, be open, you know, set the desires of your heart upon it and ask the Father to take you into these experiences. So just close your eyes. Start to think about rest. Slow down. Live in the moment. Become mindful. Start to focus your thinking on the name of Yod Heh Vav Heh. Slow down your breathing. Align it to the rhythm of Yod Heh Vav Heh. So breathe in deeply and breathe out slowly. Yod. And breathe in. And then breathe out, Vav. And just breathe in gently, slowly, to the rhythm of the name of God. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. And just come to a place of stillness. Begin to fix your focus on God, on the Father, on Jesus, on the Spirit. And just be still so you can come into a deeper revelation of the reality of who God is. So be still. Be still and know that I am God. 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 Be still and know that I am love. Be still and know that I am joy. Be still and know that I am peace. Still and know that I am love. Be cocooned in love. Let love surround you, flow into you, through you. Let the frequency of love captivate your heart. Rest in the frequency that goes through you, around you. beautiful atmosphere. Invite love, joy and peace to fill you, throw through you, create an atmosphere of rest around you, and live in that safe place of rest. And as you're in that place of rest, think of the open heaven, set your desire on engaging the Father, and just open your heart to wherever he wants to take you. Through those dimensions, engaged, wherever he wants to show you, take you, reveal to you. Just be open, just go and be. Just be.